Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's 7 o'clock on a Saturday night, and as usual, that means it's time for the other podcast. I'm your host, Robert Stacy McCain.
And I'm not. Hello, folks. It's John Hoke here, the other guy on the other podcast, and live and direct from exotic Valdosta, Georgia. Hi, Diana.
Hello, hello.
There she is.
It has been 2 weeks.
It's been, yeah, I wasn't able to go to CPAC, which was real for me because of the press of robotics.
Yes. You know, my
space
good friend,
robot robots.
Exactly. Just to remind the listeners, or perhaps those who tuning in for the first time, is that my good friend John Hogue designs space robots for NASA.
Only small widgets that are part of them.
Okay, sure.
You design space robots for NASA. That is beyond cool.
He's practically he's Obi-Wan Kenobi, basically. But meanwhile, you can find my friend John Hogue's blogging at hoguewash.com.
And Stacy blogs at theothermccain.com and other fine spots around the interwebs. And Diana, have you blogged of late?
To be honest, I have been too busy preparing for a workshop and a panel that I'm doing. So I've been neck deep in that. Sorry.
And where will this workshop occur?
The workshop will be at the Greater Valdosta United Way's Jenkins Community Center, which is a small building behind their offices. It's on Patterson. We have space for 20, and I will be teaching how to a brief overview of prospecting and grant writing, and it will be from what owner wants to see, which will, you know, I will not be telling you to tell your story.
Okay. Well, speaking of Valdosta, the crime wave in South Georgia continues. Two men, including a Valdosta High School football player, have been charged in a pair of recent shootings, police said. Around 12 a.m. on February 26, police responded to two separate but related shootings. They first responded to the 400 block of East Martin Luther King Drive. Victim, a 16-year-old boy, was taken by a friend to South Georgia Medical Center. While officers were responding to that shooting, the 911 center received a call about two people being shot in the 2500 block of Bemis Road. Police found two 17-year-old men at the scene on Bemis Road with gunshot wounds. Officers gave first aid until EMTs arrived and took them to South Georgia Medical Center. On February 28th, detectives obtained arrest warrants for Zontavious Siplin, 20, of Valdosta, for two counts of felony aggravated assault, felony aggravated battery, and felony possession of a firearm during the commission of a crime. He was taken into custody without incident. On March 3rd, detectives obtained arrest warrants for Omar White, 17, of Valdosta, for felony aggravated assault, felony aggravated battery, and felony possession of a firearm during the commission of a crime. White was also taken into custody without incident. White played football for the Valdosta High School Wildcat He was a junior defensive tackle who had already committed to the University of Colorado and was the region 7A defensive player of the year.
Yep.
Well, yep.
So looks like he's going to be playing football in prison. I don't know.
Maybe he can get in the next movie about that.
Anyway,
you know, that's not the only crime that's been occurring in Georgia.
Yes, there have been some unusual crimes in Georgia lately. I keep reading the news from down home. You know, I'm a native of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Most people who tell you that they're from Atlanta are actually from Cleveland, and they moved to Dunwoody or some other suburb around Atlanta. They've never actually been. I was born in Atlanta, but meanwhile. The headline, news from down home, another Antifa riot, more out-of-towners arrested. Yes. And the terrorist set fire to construction equipment at the site of a planned Atlanta police training facility Sunday, hurling rocks and fireworks at officers who responded to the riot scene. And this vandal horde of commies is almost entirely composed of outsiders. Mm-hmm. Of the 20 suspect charged with domestic terrorism, 21 are not from Georgia. Yep. Two of them are actually not even from America. There's one from France and one from Canada.
Well, Canada, does that surprise you?
Yeah, right. Come on, right, Stacey. Right. Yeah, come on, man. We know the Canadian menace. It's been there. But two are from Arizona, three are from Massachusetts. Let's see. Four from
We've got Colorado, Wisconsin. The big surprise to me was that there were not a fairly large contingent from California.
Yeah. Well, I posted up all the mugshots, and I quote, one of these suspects, as everyone pointed this out, was Thomas Juergens, 28, an attorney working for the Southern Poverty Law Center. Southern Poverty Law Center.
We'll get to them further down the line.
And anyways, but the police chief said this wasn't about a public safety training center. This was about anarchy, and this was about an attempt to destabilize. So they are now under investigation, and I close that post by saying that I have a little bit left over from what readers tipped me to go to CPAC, and so I'm thinking I may just take a road trip to Atlanta.
Might be a good idea.
Yeah. Well, if they keep it up down there, I'm going to have to.
Well,
go
then
down
you
there.
Had this second post, and
forgive me, I have to speak to my dog. Hearn, give me that back. Leave that alone.
Oh, well.
He's got a toy that he should not have.
Oh. Okay.
It belongs to the cats.
Oh, yeah. Well, my dog eats the cat's food, you know.
They all do that. They like it because it's got salt in it.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. But
it's not good for them.
Well, our cat liked to have her water dish and cat food on top of the refrigerator. So that solved that when we had a dog at the same time.
All right. Moving on.
Meanwhile, yes.
Speaking of animals.
Yes. And Stacey, I said I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to have to talk to you about Rule 5 again.
Right? Oh, yeah. I highlighted a few of the Antifa scum in Atlanta.
They all look exactly like you thought they would, but that one girl, she's only 20, and she clearly hates herself.
Highlighted a few here. Jamie Marsicano, who is booked under the name James Marsicana, is a 29-year-old law student at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Marsicano, who identifies as a white trans femme organizer in online profiles, was arrested in June 2020 and charged with assault of a government official and resisting a police officer during the George Floyd protest in Charlotte. Those charges were later dropped because it's Charlotte. So you got the Democrat DA and the rioters never face any consequences. Between June 2020 and September 2020, Marsicano was arrested 5 times, according to the Mecklenburg County Sheriff's Office. Anyways, and my comment on that was, you know, I'm old enough to remember when drag queens in Atlanta were mainly about syncing show tunes in gay bars, not firebombing the police. Yeah, that was one of the Antifa scum arrested in Atlanta. Another one, Everett Nottingham, 22, is from Colorado, a political science major at Colorado State University. He described himself as a climate activist. You've got to look at this guy's face, by the way.
I mean, I'd rather not again. As a matter of fact, I just clicked to blank that page out.
Anyway, but he was involved in Black Lives Matter protest. He has a whole lot of privilege and a whole lot of ability to affect the world. The role in my future that I hope to achieve is to be an advocate and the platform I have to make change. End
Why doesn't
quote.
He learn to write then?
They don't learn.
Seriously, that is not a coherent sentence. That is terrible.
No.
But he probably didn't learn the parts of speech. He probably learned whatever the nonsensical way they were teaching various parts of English grammar over the last 20
what
years.
Grammar? Quick grammar. The grammar is oppressive. It's drill and kill, you know? And that's just so stupid. It makes it impossible to communicate.
Yes, but if you can't even get the grammar right, you're going to have trouble with rhetoric and logic.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, but the New York Post had the best profile of the thing. It accused terrorist Mattia Luini. Mattia, it's an Italian name.
Mattia Luini.
He is the son whose father, Ivan, was president of the New York-based Cartel US, a high-end Italian furniture company.
That specialized in plastic design, which I find utterly terrifying.
Yeah, well, it was high-end stuff, very popular.
There's plastic and high-end are just like, you're kidding me.
I don't know. somebody can explain that to me. But he made millions in the furniture business and then died
man,
in a plane
young man,
crash.
Young man, I have just one word for you. Just one word.
Plastics.
And here's to you,
Mrs. Robinson.
Yeah, anyway.
Okay. So, yeah. We're doing old movies again. I'll take
Where
old movies for 400.
Okay.
So anyways, but he was part of the protesters accused of carrying out Sunday's coordinated attack on the Atlanta Public Safety Training Center. He's the heir to a fortune. And
a lot of these are spoiled brats.
Yeah, that's what they really are.
Very much so.
You know, these children need to be spanked. I'm telling you.
Well, look at him smiling in his mugshot.
I got in a lot of trouble back in the day, but I was never charged with domestic terrorism. Okay. Anyway.
Well, let me just put it like this: I never got caught.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think I was never convicted. I'm going to just leave it at that. But
well, yeah.
But these mostly peaceful protests, all of these people did not just show up in Atlanta coincidentally.
Of course not.
Okay. And I hope, I dearly hope that the investigation in Atlanta will turn up some evidence of how the hell this happened. Okay.
Oh.
Who pays the bills for these terrorist tourists?
Oh, you can bet it's a bunch of nonprofits, and they're off. It wouldn't take all that much digging by the police, because they can put forensic accountants on it to actually prove that this is that they know what they're doing. I'm sorry, this is just offensive.
Yeah. Well, on the other hand, you know, those cops, when they if they take the thing to trial and the DA, state's attorney, or whoever has to do it, well, they'll have to divulge their sources. I don't divulge mine. And I've, as a blogger, I've been faced with having to dodge or fight subpoenas about that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I've had some pretty ugly legal stuff go on as a result of my blogging. But I've never wound up having to testify before Congress. The sideshow we saw this week, though, with particularly with the Democrats trying to browbeat the two people.
By the way, he's talking about the hearing.
I'm trying to get to
that. There were unarmed people in a battle of wits. It was terrible to me.
The Congress critters going after the reporters who did the Twitter dump, mm-hmm. or at least two of them. You know, it was a congressional hearing, and the Democrats just made absolute fools of themselves. One particular Congress critter, a woman,
Garcia.
She didn't know what a Substack was, or at least
no.
She gave me the impression that she thought it might be the smoke funnel on an undersea naval vessel. she suggested that the two male reporters were in a threesome with Barry Weiss.
The thing is, if it had been me, I would have looked at her very solemnly and said, oh no, it was more like, it's been more like an orgy.
Well, indeed. But the thing that makes it particularly interesting is, if she knew who Barry Weiss was, she'd know that Barry Weiss is a woman who is married to a woman.
Yes, she would know that, but...
What was this?
But Matt... Tybee was one of the reporters, and mm-hmm. he has his own going at Racket News, and he put mm-hmm. a piece up yesterday, which was the best summary so far I've seen of the whole thing. And in it, he says, "Then the hearing began, and an episode of Blackadder Congress broke out." And of course, I'm sure that the Democrats thought they had a cunning and subtle plan to deal with all this.
That is apparently a line from Bladrick.
Yes, it is.
Baldrick, yes.
Baldrick, yeah. I have a cunning plan.
Or occasionally a subtle plan.
A subtle plan. The subtle plans are actually even worse than the cunning plans.
I don't understand Blackadder. That's not something I know about.
Blackadder, you nasty little man.
Blackadder starts as a series done by
Roland Atkinson.
It starts off in medieval
England.
Late medieval England during the reign of Richard IV.
Who doesn't? It's an alternate history that got written out carefully because it was so embarrassing, nobody wanted to talk about it.
Yeah. So and that's really a summation. I got a link in our setup to was in that Racket News post, but I think we just go ahead and skip ahead because Stacy then today has got a post up about it. And you're on a roll, Stacy. Take it.
Yeah. It involves Representative Sylvia Garcia. And we're going to have to, Houston, we have a problem. Okay,
we do.
I'll put it to you this way. Sylvia Garcia represents the 29th district of Texas, and I went and looked at their map. It is a banana on the east side, curved around the east side of Houston, and it is 77% Hispanic. And all I can guess is that the voters don't know what the hell they're doing, because Sylvia Garcia was the chief clown in the circus during these hearings. And this was the subcommittee of the Judiciary Committee. It's the subcommittee on the weaponization of the government. And I don't know how these people were chosen. But Sylvia Garcia.
Well, she would have been chosen by the Democratic leadership to be a member of the committee.
Because of seniority.
Mr. Is it Jeffries? Hakeem Jeffries is now.
Hakeem Jeffries, yes. He's indeed the ranking, whatever they call the ranking minority, Democrat.
Minority leader.
Yes. Yeah. And, well, hey, don't say that that way. But anyways, anyways, and so there's a remarkable line of questioning that went on where she was
it's talking. Like, has she ever dealt with a reporter before?
Right. She's questioning Michael Schellenberger. And you've got to know that Michael Schellenberger has written three or four books. I think four books. But he wrote three about environmentalism until I think most recently he wrote a book about what went wrong in San Francisco.
And what didn't?
Exactly. I think the subtitle is something like "How Progressives Destroyed a City." You know,
and he has an article he's put up since the hearing and talking about, you know, how he was formed as a liberal progressive Democrat through his teenage years, college years, and his career up until just a few months ago.
Yeah. He's somebody, as I described him, as an environmentalist journalist.
He's a recent convert to sense.
Yeah. Who recently got fed up with his progressive comrades. And there's a lot of this going around.
Must have put a red pill in his Starbucks or something.
Yeah. Something like that. Well, anyway, so he's getting questioned by
he suddenly realized Starbucks is terrible coffee.
Yeah. Sylvia Garcia, who apparently didn't do her homework, and she says, in your discussion, you said that you were invited by a friend, Barry Weiss. Now, the issue that she's going toward is, how did Michael Schellenberger end up reporting the Twitter files, right? And Schellenberger repeats, "My friend, Barry Weiss," to which Garcia says, "So this friend works for Twitter, or what is her, and Taibbi interrupted to say, "She's a journalist." And then Garcia said, "Sir, I didn't ask you a question. I'm now asking Mr. Schellenberger a question." So they started laughing, and Schellenberger said, "Yes, ma'am, Barry Weiss is a journalist." And then she said, "She's a journalist, so you work in concert with her." And Schellenberger, you know, nods or says, "Yeah." And she said, "Did you know when she first was contacted by Mr. Musk?" "I don't know," he answered. "You don't know. So you're in this as a threesome?" And Barry Weiss tweeted, "I am dead." Anyways, but the thing is that Barry Weiss, Barry Weiss worked, I think, 4 or 5 years at the at the Wall Street Journal.
She was at the Times.
She was at the Wall Street Journal and then followed Bret Stephens over to the editorial page of the New York Times. And her exit, the manner of her exit from the New York Times was big news at the time. You know, so that she is someone who, I mean, if you don't know who Barry Weiss is, and she's just, and you can watch her, you can watch Garcia. If you watch on the video, she appears to be reading from some notes that just have these questions up there. And she has no idea what she's even talking about, apparently.
Nope.
And anyways, Taibbi has got a post up, which John was calling attention to, where he talks about Brooklyn Congressman Dan Goldman. He talks about how Goldman was asking him this series of questions. It's very interesting if you read the whole thing.
If I could.
And Taibbi said the irony, and it has to do with the indictments that Mueller made against various Russian personalities. The only way to, in this whole, in, at the end of his, there were 12 members of the GRU indicted, if you know what the GRU is, the Russian military intelligence. And in the indictment, Mueller accused these people of being behind Guccifer 2.0, which was this elusive figure communicating online with Roger Stone. And to do with the release of the RNC, the DNC emails. Okay, this was the DNC email leak or hack, depending on who you talk to. Well, anyways, but he's talking about Goldman treated this indictment as if it were proof, as if it were evidence. So, well, they've been indicted. They must, you know, anyways. And Taibbi says, the irony is that what Goldman was doing, confusing accusations with proof, as Thomas Jefferson said, the phenomenon of people whose suspicions may be evidence, was the entire reason for the hearing. Michael and Schellenberger and I were trying to describe a system that wants to bypass proof and proceed to punishment, a radical idea that this new breed of Democrat embraces. I think they justify this using the Sam Harris argument that in pursuit of suppressing Trump, anything is justified. But by removing or disrespecting the rights to which Americans are accustomed, you make opposition movements like Trump's. You don't stop them.
No, that's exactly what causes them. And then you wind
trial
up.
Trial first. Sentence well, first. Trial afterwards.
Sentence first.
To quote the Red Queen.
Yes. Anyway, the.
It's a religion. That's the only way.
Yeah, well, but the thing is, it's a religion on one part and it's a grift on others. And you have, you know, there is a certain amount of uniparty going on. Which leads me to one of the Are You Ponderings What I'm Pondering of the Week. I think so, Brain, but when you said politicians were tripping, I thought you meant, never mind.
Yes.
And of course,
I know
my
what
own.
This leads into, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
My favorite line ever from, as said by Will Smith back in his youth, girl, you ain't just tripping. You've fallen and you can't get up.
Yeah. Well, and then we have that with the current Senate minority meter. And there's an interesting piece over at PJ Media about that goes, it's time for Mitch McConnell to retire. And we owe Mitch McConnell a great thanks for what he did working with the Trump administration on getting good judges confirmed to the federal bench. But he is even older than Joe Biden, and it's time for him to go. So, you know, it's just, you know, time's up. And yet, I don't want to get into any of the other reasons why people might be through with him, but it would be a good time for him to find a way to retire gracefully. Meanwhile,
the murder turtle has, I mean, you know, they're, like you said, like on Judges, okay, mm-hmm. There were sometimes, and there were many times, Mitch McConnell knows how to whip count. Okay. There were times where McConnell decided this bill, whatever it was in front of him, if it passes, will not have a single Republican vote. And he was able to enforce that on numerous occasions. And, you know, and there are Mitch haters out there, including some of my friends, you know, I'm not going to go down that road. I mean, you know, he's done some good things. You know, he got there, by the way, if you will recall, the reason Mitch McConnell is there is when they took down Trent Lott. You remember? And Trent Lott was, you know, back in his day, people had a lot of problems with Trent, you know, but before him, it was Bob Dole. You know, the Republican Senate caucus is where conservatism goes to die. I'm sorry.
Always has.
Pretty much.
Probably always will.
On the other hand, our blogs are not where news or features or interesting stuff goes to die. We do interesting stuff, and folks ought to help support it. Stacy, tell them about the Yellow Button.
Folks, if you will go to my blog, theothermccain.com, you will notice near the top of the center column, a yellow button with the word donate on it. If you will click the yellow button, it takes you to my PayPal account where you can contribute dollars, pesos, euros, yen, shekels. Have I omitted anything?
Oh, there's lots of currency.
Yeah. Any form of currency you have, you can donate through PayPal, except for Russian rubles. That will help support the blog, help support this podcast. But most of all, it will help keep my wife happy, and keeping my wife happy is job number one.
Indeed.
Yeah. And meanwhile, over at my good friend John Hogue's blog, hoguewash.com.
If you go to the blog and look in the sidebar right there on the right at the top, there's a tip jar icon. Click on that. You'll be taken to my PayPal account, where you can help support the blog, or you can do shopping at the Hogue Wash store. There's a link to that in the sidebar, or you can shop using Amazon links that you find at Hogue Wash. And by the way, also at the Other McCain and lots of other blogs, because lots of us are members of what's called the Amazon affiliate program. When you use those links to shop at Amazon, you'll find that the blogger gets a small cut of the action, which helps support the blog. A nice thing Amazon does to help support the interwebs. And you can also send gold Russian rubles by express. You'll find the snail mail address in the menu bar up at the top in the DMCA link. Regardless of how you choose to support us, please remember the five most important words in the English language.
Hit the freaking tip jar.
Indeed.
Now, you know, by the way, I have to say you're mentioning they could mail you gold rush rubles. They'll also take cash. In the day when I was out traveling on the campaign trail, and I would sometimes have face-to-face encounters with regular readers, you know, and you know, it would be a terrible thing if they slipped me a handful of cash, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, I'm
just saying that if someone had ever just handed me cash, okay, you know, that would have been a very bad thing, because I would have had to report that to the IRS.
You don't have to report who it came from, just that you got it.
What?
No.
Wait. If I had gotten any, I just want to say
I have a couple of people who every once in a while send me pictures of dead presidents in the mail. Actually, one very nice person occasionally sends a picture of a dead Postmaster General.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. We love Mr. Franklin very much.
Don't we all?
Yes, but meanwhile, everything proceeded as I had foreseen. At the end of 2020, I had lots of friends from around the country calling me and emailing me for logistical information. Where should I stay in D.C.? Or what's the best route in and out of town? They were coming for rallies on June 6th. January 6th. January 6th rallies. And I gave them my opinions about accommodations and other items like that. And then I advised them to stay away from the Capitol because I suspected that with the Democrats in charge of everything on Capitol Hill, that they were setting some kind of trap. So far, nothing I've seen from the surveillance video that Tucker Carlson has been showing has surprised me in the least.
By the way, I just want to say that two of my text messages on January 6th are part of the official record.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
A friend of a mutual acquaintance. A mutual acquaintance was kind of involved in that, and he got subpoenaed and everything like that. And it was a gigantic fishing expedition.
It would have worked better if they'd had some bait.
Yeah. Well, anyways, yeah. Our friend has so far walked away clean. The lawsuits, he was dismissed from the lawsuit, and they didn't break him. No. He is unbroken. And speaking of broken, however,
the narrative is not doing well, is it?
Yes.
No.
Yes, Tucker Carlson this week aired video of the thousands of hours of surveillance video from the Capitol on January 6th, 2021, previous House leadership had not wanted to release, okay? And I was really struck by Kentucky Congressman Thomas Massey. And I have embedded, the thing is J6 videos shatter insurrection narrative is the headline. And I've embedded a video in which Thomas Massey demands all 45,000 hours of January 6th Capitol footage be immediately released to the public. And as I understand from Kevin McCarthy, they're going in that direction. So the entire public will be able to download the videos, and we'll see what this army of Davids can dig up out of it. Massey said, we need a complete catalog of all the feds who were there. Tell us who they were. Mm-hmm. Let's watch the videos and let's see what they did, because there's some really strange behavior on those videos, end quote. Yeah. And what he's talking about is that you can see, if you watch the videos, there are some individuals in civilian clothing who appear to be allowed within the police cordon.
Yep.
And they are talking like leaning over and whispering to the police. So it seems obvious that they are plainclothes officers and or informants. We don't know who they are. But what he's saying is, tell us who they were. Okay. Mm-hmm. Tell us who is who on this video. So that they can see what those people did, because, you know, there's Ray Epps, the name keeps coming up. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm old enough to remember back when, you know, 9/11 and the war in Iraq and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And the left-wing bloggers at places like Daily Kos had this mantra, question the timing. Right? Yeah, whenever anything seemingly coincidental happened, they were like, question the timing. We're just asking questions, right?
Yeah, right.
See, and look, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but it's right there in plain sight, and Thomas Massie is calling attention to it. But one of the things they pointed out was that Jacob Chansley, the QAnon shaman, and everybody, he became sort of the mascot of the quote-unquote resurrection, insurrection. Did I call it a resurrection?
You did.
No, I didn't mean
that.
But
we are in the season. We get it.
Yeah, well, they're being crucified by the Justice Department, I guess you could say. But anyways, but the footage actually shows two Capitol police officers escorting the QAnon shaman through the halls of Congress, and never once do they attempt to arrest him. Mm-hmm. And you watch all of the video, mm-hmm. and there are, if all these people, and some of these people are being charged with sadist conspiracy, and yet the cops don't even bother to arrest them.
On the other hand, maybe there was resurrection involved because they have an officer who's supposedly been murdered outside the Capitol building before, at an earlier time, walking around the Capitol in good health.
Yeah.
And directing people back in line.
Yeah. This is, I mean, some people, and I want to say who it was, Naomi
Wolf,
yeah, came out today and said she, after she watched the video, she was like, well, this is, we were lied to.
Of course we were.
Well, yeah, welcome to the real world.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Yeah, a lot of people are just waking up to what's going on with this thing, but we're going to continue to see more and more things. Of course, the mainstream media is just either spinning this or ignoring it, you know.
Well, but I mean, if you have a product that doesn't meet people's needs, they're going to stop buying it. So we'll see what happens. Meanwhile,
should we play the Paw Patrol theme for them?
You didn't mention them.
But yeah, man, we're talking about CNN. By the way, CNN had a special with. CNN. Can you hear the music?
Barely, but yeah.
It's the Paw Patrol thing. Yeah, because CNN. The joke, my friends, is that CNN gets lower ratings than Paw Patrol reruns on Nickelodeon. But the thing is, this week they had on Jill Biden. They had a 9 o'clock hour. They had a special 1 hour something with Jill Biden, and it got the lowest ratings they've had in like 10 months. Okay. Their worst prime time in months. Their ratings have never been so low. But
no one wants to listen to Jill Biden. I'm really sorry. That's just, it's no.
Well, you know, the whole thing that this political movement surrounding, the Democrats now, it's as if they don't know how to communicate, because they're so disconnected from reality, I think. But I had one of those "you keep using those words" posts, and it was plural, not that word, but those words. I don't think they mean what you want me to think they mean in this case. whenever I hear some politician talking about our democracy, I wonder if I'm included in the group he means when he says our. Also, whenever I hear a politician talking about democracy, I'm reminded of how Benjamin Franklin described the form of government being created at the Constitutional Convention, a republic, if you did. That may be the challenge of the next few years. Are you going to tell me it can't happen here?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Goldstein, an old school blogger, Jeff Goldstein, now has a Substack. It's, you know, people keep telling me I need to start a Substack, and I said, well, that's basically what I'm doing here. I don't know if you get it, but anyways, I mean, it's more or less, I've been doing that for a long time. But anyways, the headline on this post was "It Can't Happen Here," and Jeff Goldstein is talking about a Netflix series called Web of Make-Believe. Okay, this thing, the co-executive producer of it is Ron Howard, of Opie fame, you know, now become a famous director. But anyways, the series is one of the things they have in there, and I'll get to this in a minute, but they have this neo-Nazi type in there, and she talks about how the internet made her do it, and I'll get back to that in a minute. But one of the things is that these people who keep wanting to say that conservatism is right wing and the far right wing is Nazis, and therefore conservative are Nazis. And the difference, and I've always thought this important, is that what is it that conservatives, right, properly understood in the American context, what are conservatives trying to conserve? Well, it's right there in the Constitution where the founders declare their intent to, quote, secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, end quote. And that's just what we're trying to do. We're trying to preserve liberty, okay? The conditions necessary to the kind of liberty that the Constitution entitles us to. So we're trying to preserve our system of government. Well, so this has always been wrong, and I get tired of people saying that, well, it could happen here. And they talk about the rise of Hitler as if it could happen here, but it can't, for a very simple reason. The conditions that existed in Germany in the 1920s and 30s were sui generis. That is to say, it was a particular set of historical circumstances that never existed anywhere else at any other time. This is why neo-Nazism is always doomed to failure. The Hitler wannabes are wrong to believe they can replicate in America or anywhere else the astonishing events by which Hitler went from being a fringe figure to being the all-powerful leader of what was, in 1939, the world's greatest military power. Okay. Now, I was still a schoolboy. Okay. I was like in high school. It may have been as early as middle school when I read William Shirer's The Rise and Fall
of the Third Reich.
Shirer was a journalist who worked for CBS News with Ed Murrow, covered it. Okay. Live. He was a correspondent for various newspapers, as well as being a radio broadcaster. And he knew the players involved, okay? He was on like a first-name basis with these people, okay? He covered it. He was a guy who had left America in the 1920s because he couldn't stand Coolidge, okay? That's how left-wing he was, okay? And he was a a liberal, you know, to his fingertips. And he chronicles exactly what happened. Well, those conditions do not exist here now. It's very unlikely that they're going to exist here in the future, because understand that Germany had no tradition of democracy. They had no tradition of constitutional rights, okay? Under, Bismarck, right? Under Bismarck, okay? Mm-hmm. There had been the establishment of the social welfare state, okay?
Correct.
But it was all in service of Prussian militarism, okay? And this highly militaristic society, full of grievances and envies toward its neighbors, particularly France and England, but also toward Russia. But they have this military culture, and when they could not win the war, it just broke their minds, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's how Hitler came to power, in a specific set of circumstances, okay? Glenn Reynolds has often says, you can't have the Third Reich, you can't have Hitler before you have, first you've got to have Weimar, okay? Mm-hmm. In other words, you've got
we're heading that way.
Yes, there's. I was just going to say
bankruptcy and decadence, okay?
And ineffective government and inflation and.
Yeah, okay. So maybe it could happen here. But the point is that the specific circumstances, and I have actually known people who went down that road and ended up with the swastika armband, Sig Heiling on the steps of some courthouse somewhere. I've seen it on video, and I'm like, you fucking idiot. This is America. The last thing we want to be is Nazis, okay?
And Stacy, don't worry. We got people like the Southern Poverty Law Center who are going out all these Nazis and protect us.
Yeah, well, anyways, yeah, right. But... please.
They're a bunch of FSB agents.
Yeah, read what Jeff Goldstein has to say about this Netflix series. But I took a look at the summary of it, and I guarantee you that in their second season, they'll get around to J6 and try to say, "Well, the internet made them do it." See, it's all about how the internet leads you in down the trail. Right.
The internet is something with a lot of possibilities, and it's done a lot through social media to cause a lot of problems for some people. I mean, there's a whole generation of young women now who have been had their lives damaged by social media. But the SPLC is going to save us. Trust me.
Stacey.
No, remember they outed you as a racist, I think, or at least that came up in court. one of my favorite instances. There was, it was a real pain in the ass dealing with the lawsuits from Brett Kimberlin.
read this.
You're going to have to read your line. Okay. I think there's no one can.
Oh, please. Can I do the rest though?
I'll tell you what.
I don't have any lines in here.
Oh, you do.
Yes, you do.
You have the last.
You have the absolute perfect line at the very end.
Yes, it got cut off in my post, but
okay.
But no, it doesn't.
But
we get to Mr. Kimberlin. Well, nobody's tried, and then the witness. Come on.
Where's the witness?
John, do you want to be the John? Do you want to be the court?
I see the witness on this.
I don't. I don't see the witness isn't showing up on this screen. This is interesting.
Can I help out here?
I'll tell you what. We're gonna let you. We're gonna let you read it. But let me do the setup.
All right.
Brett, a left wing activist and domestic terrorist. And I can get away with calling him that because he sued me for defamation for calling him that, and I won the lawsuit. Mm-hmm. Basically, managed to get to trial on one of his four lawsuits that involved me and one of his two lawsuits that involve Stacey. Mm-hmm. And I think Stacey's answer at the end of this is one of the reasons why Brett stopped picking on him. But basically, we were being sued for defamation because we did truthful reporting about this guy.
Yeah, and so if you can't kill the message, kill the messenger.
And so, he is doing such a bad job of trying to make his case. He's called Stacey as a witness, as a prosecution
for the prosecution
trying
while
to,
suing him. By the
while,
way,
while, yes, while he's suing Stacey for defamation and trying to use Stacey as a as a witness against Stacey, and so he's going all sorts of different directions, and take it away with the court.
Okay. Well, question, which was by Kimberlyn. Yes. Have you ever been identified as a member of the hate group League of the South? The court. I'm sorry. What was that? What group? Mr. Ostronic. Objection. Mr. Kimberlyn, League of the South. The court. League of the South? Mr. Kimberlyn, it's like an offshoot of the KKK. Mr. Ostronic. Objection, Your Honor. Mr. Kimberlyn, it believes in the court. What's that relevant to, sir? Mr. Kimberlyn, well, he brought it up, the court. He didn't bring up the League of the South. Mr. Kimberlyn, huh? He didn't bring up the League of the South. Mr. Kimberlyn, he talked about he's not a racist. The court, well, the fact that he brought it up without objection doesn't make it relevant. I mean, what is the jury going to do with this? We're not here about whether anybody is a racist or not, are we? Mr. Kimberlyn, well, no, but he's tried. The witness. You're white, by the way.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm looking.
I think something was wrong with the file that got up on our machine. She's got the
original transcript.
Yeah, anyway, she's got the correct file. When yes. I loaded it, and it came up right. Anyway, and then I ended that with zing. It was all I could do to keep from bursting out laughing, particularly when the foreman of the jury, who was black, started to shake his head and chuckle. And by the way, the judge, Judge Johnson, is black.
Yeah. And yeah, the judge just rolled his eyes.
The point is that Brett just wanted to use this to smear me.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just a smear. And I had to say, and this, by the way, is something I noticed years ago. The only people who have ever accused me of "quote unquote" racism, the only people who ever do that are white. Okay, mm-hmm. In other words, that black people that know me, I'm no more racist than most white people. That's the best I'll say. I don't want to brag about what an ami du noir I am. But,
Stacey, I thought the other effective thing that happened this is when Patrick Ostronic, our lawyer, only had one bit of cross-examination of you. He asked you to point to your friend in the court. Ali Akbar.
Yeah.
Yeah, now Ali Alexander,
It's so funny that, you know, the thing is that the idea that, well, I can sue somebody claiming that, that they have defamed me, right? And then just go attack their character by accusing them of racism. Well, this is a microcosm of what has gone wrong in our politics lately. Because you see this, that when people talk about the wokeness, right? The wokeness. Well, what is wokeness except running around with a chip on your shoulder looking for, somebody to trigger you by saying something? And by the way, I'm watching this thing. I don't know if you've seen this. Chris Rock latest special. I think it's on Hulu or HBO. It's HBO, I think, or HBO Max or whatever. Anyways, and he's got this thing, and he's talking about getting slapped by Will Smith. You remember this famous, infamous incident. And And at the end of it says, I tell you what the difference is. I got parents and they raised me. Ooh.
Yeah.
You know, but it's so weird that it should be out of all people, Will Smith, who was the Fresh Prince, right?
I know.
I mean, he was such a lovable kind of guy.
Yeah, then, well, he evidently
married that bitch.
Well, it doesn't make any. It doesn't make any.
He's
difference.
He's kind of like Harry. Speaking of princes gone bad.
Well, let's not. I'm sorry. The more we ignore Harry Windsor, the happier I will be.
And Harry's father is sovereign.
Yeah, he is. But
Stacey, that's your cue to talk about dangerous, crazy people.
This week's crazy people are dangerous lesson, and I keep telling you people, and yet, despite my warnings, the craziness continues this week. You know, folks, one of the channels that I subscribe to is called Police Activity. and it's full of car chases, officer-involved shootings, all kinds of stuff. And it's just the most entertaining thing on the internet as far as I'm concerned. Just live cops doing cop stuff. And they pulled over a guy in... what is this? Farmington, Utah. I've driven through Farmington, Utah on my way to somewhere else, but I'm...
That's right. It's on the way to somewhere else.
All right. I leave this with a screenshot of Chase Allen. I misspelled his name there. It's A-L-L-A-N. But anyways, Chase Allen. And I captioned it, Chase Allen shortly before his predictable death. Okay, because let me explain to you a little bit about this, about the sovereign citizens movement, quote unquote. It is, these people think that somehow the government has become illegitimate, okay, and that the laws don't apply to them, that they are sovereign citizens, you see, and for some reason, it always seems to come down to traffic laws, okay? And this guy was driving around with this fake tag on his car, and the cops pulled him over, and they started, you know, trying to get him, and he started objecting in the way, if you've ever seen any of these people, they will roll down the window about 4 inches to tell you, They don't have to answer your questions.
Mm-hmm.
You have no jurisdiction over them.
And they're traveling.
Yes, I'm traveling, which is my concept. Did you actually watch the video?
No, I did not, because anyways, he died and I didn't want to watch.
Yeah. Well, anyways, but yes, they have the right to travel. And therefore, your traffic laws are a conspiracy to deprive them of their rights. And it's just craziness, okay? These people, as I say, are daft, deranged, demented, berserk, bonkers, off their rockers, a few fries short of a happy meal, and cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
And they didn't, this traffic stop did not go well for the other.
No. And
he died in a hail of gunfire.
Which is how they all should die. But anyways, but I point out, I put up there a picture of this young man before he got into watching these YouTube videos that teach you how to be a sovereign citizen. Mm. And he was once a handsome, well-dressed, promising young university graduate, and he died in a hail of gunfire because he fell into this sovereign citizen stuff. And I'm telling you, nobody is going to loot Walmart in your honor.
Nope.
Okay. If you're a white person who gets yourself killed by cops, okay, you're going to be as dead as George Floyd, but there's not going to be any murals in your honor. We're not going to riot. We're not going to turn over any statues. You'll be dead for no reason. But that's what happens to crazy people.
They're dangerous to themselves and others.
Crazy people are dangerous. And as we reach the end of our podcast. I will be back
next
Saturday night. We'll spring forward tomorrow morning.
We're springing forward. Yes.
7 p.m. Eastern. Don't miss it for the other podcast. We'll see you later, folks.
Good night, Stacey. Good night, Diana.
Good night.
Mr. Breeze.